السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. سو دے آر ٹو تھنگس ویئر وی سی دا فور سائٹ, ٹو مور تھنگس فرام آل دا تھنگس دیٹ وی ڈسکسڈ. سو ون از دیٹ وی آل نو that in when there is Sharia rule, and that's supposed to be the only rule, then if a person has to steal something valuable, something that was locked away, all the different masail that go with it, but the law in Islam is that the person's hand will be cut off. The person stole, then his hand will be cut off. So with the barakat of this type of law, theft shouldn't take place. I remember when I was much younger and we used to go for, Allah Ta'ala used to take us for Umrah, people with gold shops, shops selling gold, come time for Salah, they just pull one sheet over the shop and they want to read Salah. Now, when they have removed the law of Sharia from the country, they can't do that anymore. But when there was Sharia law, then a person never stole in Haramain Sharifain. Wherever there is Sharia law, you don't find a, illa mashallah, you'll get one incident, one isolated incident. So, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, at one stage there was famine and people were extremely, extremely hungry. So at that time, a group of slaves, they found one camel. It wasn't their camel. They found one camel and they're extremely hungry. They slaughtered the camel and they ate it. Now this was a theft, right? But when the case came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, he said, no, we will not cut their hands. In this situation, it was out of zarurat, out of necessity, they were driven by hunger. And he said that no, we will not cut their hands. Instead, the owner of those slaves, he asked him that you pay the value of that camel to the owner of the camel. Pay him for, you know, his loss. Now look at the foresight of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He even made a rule at that time that if somebody has to come across a fruit or something to eat, and you took it and you ate it, there won't be no charge on you. Because people were extremely, extremely hungry. So, due to that zarurat, he made those concessions. He wasn't changing the law of Allah Ta'ala, but he made a concession due to that situation at the time. Then also in his time, there was one year which was known as the year of ashes. It was severe, severe drought, hunger. People were really in a difficult situation. So considering the crisis at that time, now normally in a Muslim country, so the Khalifa, he will send out the amils. You know? Amil, when we talk about amil, then we talk about somebody who's taking out jinnat and all that, you know, making taweez and taking out jinnat. The amil is actually a person who is working for the Khalifa, for the Muslim government, and he goes to collect the zakat. So he helps the people to work out their zakat. He knows the masail of zakat, and then he collects the zakat and he brings it to the Baytul Mal, to the public treasury. So that year, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu didn't send out the amils. Whoever had the means, they came and paid their zakat. they came on their own accord. But he didn't send out the armies to go to the people and put pressure on them to pay. In the next year, when things eased off, and now things were growing again, people were doing business again, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu exhorted the people that, see, this year now you must pay for last year and for this year. And people paid for the previous year and for that year. So this is the mercy in deen, mercy in Islam. Now look at the system of the kuffar. Today's time, a person goes to a bank or something, he takes a loan to buy a house or to buy a motor car or whatever. And if he has to get retrenched from his job, and now for about 6 months, 7 months, he's out of a job. If he tries to explain to them that, look, you know, I was paying for 2 years, 3 years, every month I'm paying. Now I got retrenched, so give me a chance. They're not going to listen to nothing. They will just attach, repossess. Whatever money he paid, that too is lost. And he will lose his possession also. That is the zulam, the hard-heartedness of the system of kuffar. And look at the system of deen, the system of Islam. How merciful a system it is. Another major thing that had taken place, which we had touched on previously, was the plague of Amwas. The plague of Amwas. So this plague had taken place in Sham. And it was called the plague of Amwas because of the place where it, you know, it started. So Amwas is a place between Jerusalem and Ramallah. The place in between there is called Amwas. If you go to Amwas today, it's very close to the border. Very, very close to the border. And there are still Qabristans there where they say that many Sahaba radiallahu anhum who had passed away in that plague are buried there. Certain Sahaba, like the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their kubur are marked. Like Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu anhu, his son Abdul Rahman, etc. Even in that area around there, the qabr of Dirar bin Azwar radiallahu anhu is also there. But this plague had taken place there. Now there are two types of plagues. One is what is called a waba, and one is called a ta'un. So one type, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it will not enter Madinah Munawwara. That type of plague never entered Madinah Munawwara. But a waba can enter, ta'un will not enter Madinah Munawwara. But with regards to this plague of Amwas, it was such a plague that a person's, initially like a blister would appear, and then that part of the person's body would get affected. And then slowly it would affect the whole body and the person's health would deteriorate and eventually he would pass away. So it was during these days when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu decided to journey from Madinah Munawwara to Sham to go and visit the Muslim army under the leadership of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. But when he came close, a place called Sarh, when he came here, so then he met a few mujahideen, he met some of the Muslims, so they told him, you know what, we don't advise you to go further. This plague is there, so don't go there. So Umar Radhiyallahu Anhu was now deliberating now, he's got with him the senior muhajirun. Now do I go there and subject them to this plague that is there, or do we return now? So he made mashwara. Now this we discussed previously, so I'm not going into the details, but he made mashwara, etc. And eventually it was decided that, look, next morning he will return to Madinah Munawwara. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu questioned Umar radiallahu anhu also. Then are you running away from the qadr of Allah? And Umar said, no, we are going from the qadr of Allah to the qadr of Allah. And after that, another sahabi came. When he came and he heard what they were discussing, so he said that, no, I have ilm with regards to this. In other words, I heard something from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to this. And then he explained that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when there is a plague somewhere, then the people who are there, they mustn't leave. And a person who is not there, he mustn't go there. So Umar radhiyallahu anhu made shukr, and alhamdulillah our mashwara also came to that conclusion, which, you know, was in sync with the instructions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Umar radhiyallahu anhu took the sahaba radhiyallahu anhum and he returned to Madinah Munawwara. But look at Umar radiallahu anhu now. But you know, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu is one of a very senior sahabi. So much so that when Umar radiallahu anhu was on his last moments, you know, and he and I was deciding now, people were asking him, who you going to appoint as the Khalifa? So we know that Umar radiallahu anhu, he appointed, you know, a group of six sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he told them, you all must appoint a Khalifa amongst you all. But he said at that time, if Abu Ubaidah was alive, I would have had no problem. I just appointed him. This is the i'timad, the confidence he had in Abu Ubaidah. When he went to visit Abu Ubaidah one day, and he saw no possessions in his house, absolutely nothing, although he was the Amir of that whole big army, but nothing here, a small, like a little, what we call like a cave. Absolutely nothing in there. But khair, so when Umar radiallahu anhu returned to Madinah Munawwara, he was really feeling it. You know what? Like, he didn't want Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu to be lost. On the other hand, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu and his family, for a long time, none of them were being affected with this plague. Now, Abu Ubaidah being the Amir, he was giving targhib, you know, I mean, giving, because people are losing family members. Every day, every moment, people are losing. Right? The numbers differ, the how many people passed away in that plague of Amwas. Some figures even go up to 20,000 people passed away in that plague. So Abu Ubaidah used to be giving targhib, he used to be telling the people that this is a rahmat from Allah Ta'ala. Because you pass away in the plague, you shaheed. And then he used to make dua, that Ya Allah, give me and my family also a portion of this rahmat. That only we are left out. Now you don't make that dua. We must just ask for afiyat. We are very weak people. But Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he was making this dua, that Ya Allah, give us also from this rahmat. And in all of this, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he wrote a letter to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. In the letter he wrote, he said, oh Abu Ubaidah, I got some very important work. Right? So as soon as you get this letter, you leave and come to me. I need to discuss something with you. You have to come quickly to Madinah Munawwara. As soon as you get this letter, you don't waste any time. You get on your conveyance and you come to me. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, when he received this letter, normally he would never ever go against the instruction of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You can't go against the instruction of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this is a direct instruction. Right? So when he received this letter and he read it, then he said, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen's concern. He's trying to save me. He wants me to come away there because he doesn't want me to be affected. So he wrote a letter to Umar radiallahu anhu. In the letter he wrote, he said that you are calling me away, right? But I feel very hard to leave the Mujahideen here, leave them alone and come away to Madinah Munawwara. So I'm requesting you to please give me permission not to follow this instruction of yours. And he sent the letter to Umar radiallahu anhu. When Umar radiallahu anhu received this letter, he was so grieved that you could see the grief on his face. And when the Sahaba sitting around him, they saw the grief on his face, they asked him, did Abu Ubaidah pass away? And he said, it is as if he has passed away. Because he knew now that this plague is going to affect him. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, after some time, he seen some effects of the plague. He seen some effects of the plague on him. And when he saw this like a boil used to appear on the skin. So when he saw this, he began to look at it, wondering whether this is the onset of the disease. So some Sahaba near him, they told him that, Abu Ubaidah, no, this is nothing, man. It's nothing, no. Don't worry about it. But a sick person, you must give them encouragement. So Abu Ubaidah said, I hope that Allah Ta'ala blesses it. In other words, I must get this rahmat. Right? And slowly, you know, these things started affecting him. And then Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, when he fell ill, he invited the Muslims to come and visit him. Nobody must come here and you know, you'll get sick if you come near me. No. Invited the people to come and visit him, because we as mu'mineen, we believe that only what Allah decrees to affect you will affect you. You can't stop reading namaz and close your masjids and do all these things now just because there is some virus, not even a plague. This was a plague, people were passing away. So when they entered upon him, he said, verily I will leave you with some final advice. If you accept it, you will remain upon goodness throughout your lifetime and even after your death. Because our journey doesn't end. Our journey continues, you know. So he says, establish salah, pay zakat, fast, give charity, perform hajj, perform umrah. These are all advices he's giving. Join ties, family ties. Maintain your family ties. Love one another. Be sincere to your leaders. Do not betray them. Do not become distracted by the world and its temptation. Verily, even if a person is made to live for 1,000 years, he will still end up in the same situation that you see me right now. Why are you greedy for life? No matter how long you live, you're still going to end up in this situation. You still have to pass away. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, but you're going to go. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala has written death upon all of Adam alayhi salam's children. Right? And so they will all die. Therefore, the most intelligent and wise among them is he who is the most obedient to his Rabb and the most knowledgeable regarding his own final destination. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh then turned to Mu'adh radiallahu anh. And he said, oh Mu'adh, lead the Muslims in salah. Now listen to the statement. He said, lead the Muslims in salah. In other words, continue performing your salah with jamaat. Read your salah with jamaat. He didn't say, close the masjids and social distance and all these things. He didn't say all that. So Mu'adh radiallahu anh led the people in jamaat salah. Shortly thereafter, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu passed away. Allah Ta'ala raised his darajat. So before the janaza, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu stood up before the people and he delivered the following khutbah. He said, O people, turn to Allah with a sincere tawbah. For indeed, if a slave of Allah meets Allah Ta'ala having repented for his sins, it becomes necessary for Allah Ta'ala to forgive him. We can't make it necessary on Allah. Allah makes it necessary on himself. And if any person among you owes money to others, pay your debt. For a slave is held in pledge for his debts. If anyone among you has cut off ties from another Muslim, meet him, make peace with him, shake his hand. Indeed, no Muslim should cut off ties from his Muslim brother for more than 3 days. Continuing beyond that point is before Allah Ta'ala a grave sin indeed. That you have hatred now for somebody, you're not talking to the person. No. O Muslims, you have become bereaved of a man regarding whom I can truthfully say the following, that from among you all, I know of no banda of Allah Ta'ala who is more humble, more true at heart, more removed from treachery, more sincere towards the people, more merciful and compassionate towards them than him. So pray for Allah Ta'ala to have mercy on him and attend his janazah salah. May Allah Ta'ala forgive him for all his sins. By Allah, the likes of him will never rule over you again. The people then gathered together. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's body was brought out. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu then stepped forward and led the people in the janazah salah of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. When the Muslims reached the Qabristan, 3 men entered Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's qabr. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu, and Dahhak bin Qais radiallahu anhu. Later, when the people finished pouring the sand into Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's qabr, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, "May Allah have mercy on Abu Ubaidah. By Allah, I will praise him only regarding that which I know to be true. And by Allah, I will never say anything that is false regarding his character. For I fear that in saying something false, I will incur upon myself anger from Allah. O Abu Ubaidah, as far as I know, you were by Allah of those." And now he recited ayat of the Quran Sharif. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. He said, "You are from those who walk on the earth in humility and sedateness. And when the foolish address them with bad words, they reply with mild words of gentleness." Salam. They make salam and keep moving. So no time to argue with foolish people. And this is something you must adopt in your life. Whether it's in your class, whether it's in your room, whether it's later on in your life. You'll get a lot of people just want to pick an argument, just want to drive their point. Make salam and keep moving. Why human get involved in arguments with people? Make salam and keep moving. Take lesson. You were one of those who spend the night before their Rabb making sajda and standing. And you were from those, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Those who when they spend are neither extravagant nor niggardly, they hold to a medium path between those two extremes. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu continued to speak about Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. He said, "As far as I know, you are by Allah of those who are humble and submissive before their Rabb, of those who show mercy to the orphan and the needy, while detesting those who are crude and those who are arrogant." No one was sadder that day, and no one mourned Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's loss more than Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. One of Mu'adh's radiallahu anhu's first orders of business was to write a letter to Umar radiallahu anhu. But now he is the leader. He got a letter written to Umar radiallahu anhu in which he informed him of this sad news. In the letter, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu wrote, "Patiently seek to gain rewards through the loss of a man who was true to Allah Ta'ala, who feared Allah Ta'ala a great deal in his heart, and who was dear to both of us and you. O leader of the believers, Amirul Mu'mineen, I am of course referring to Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. May Allah forgive him for all of his sins. Indeed, we belong to Allah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and from him do we patiently seek out rewards through the loss of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. And in Allah do we place our trust regarding Abu Ubaidah." In other words, regarding his being forgiven and he is being granted entry into Jannah. "Even as I am writing this letter to you, death and the plague are spreading among the people. Death shall not miss its mark in the case of every individual. Those who have not died will die sooner or later. May Allah make what is with him in terms of rewards better for Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh than this world. Whether we live or die, may Allah Ta'ala reward you. Making dua for Amirul Mu'mineen. May Allah Ta'ala reward you on behalf of all the Muslims, the leaders among them and their common masses. May Allah have mercy on you, forgive you, be pleased with you, and grant you entry into Jannah. May the peace, blessings and mercy of Allah Ta'ala be upon you. So from there you learn that you must make dua for your elders. Mu'az radiallahu anhu is making dua for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Upon receiving this letter, Umar radiallahu anhu read it and he began to weep uncontrollably. He then told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum about the death of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. They all wept and they all grieved, and yet at the same time they all submitted to the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue with this inshallah ta'ala tomorrow. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.